You're listening to the Tireless End Podcast, the only Reading FC podcast by fans for fans. Hello and welcome to the Tireless End Podcast, episode 7. My name is Dan Wimbush, otherwise known as Wimb. Welcome to the latest in our weekly podcast about all things Reading Football Club. As always, the song you've just heard at the top of the show was Biscuit Men by Violet Class, who are a local band and big Reading fans. If you want to hear any more of their music or check them out live, head to violetclass.com or follow the lads on Twitter at Violet Class. I'm joined as always by our two excellent co-hosts, Mr. Alan West, otherwise known as Westy. Westy, hello.
Hello, Wim, how are you?
Yeah, I'm not so bad, thank you. And Tyler Send Deputy Editor Johnny Williams.
Yeah, I'm pretty good, thanks. You're looking pretty tanned as well after your foray away.
Yeah, well, you know, I tried my hand on the continent, wanted to try a different style of podcasting.
You scouted.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to get in some loan signings. couldn't find anybody. Although I was telling you off air just before we started, sitting around the pool of Menorca, there's only one person our sort of age range, and he turns out to be a Reading fan. So I can't remember his name now, but if he's listening, hello. And I hope he had a safe flight back.
Oh, I'm sure he's not, but...
No, I'm sure he's not. It did say he read the website, but I'm sure he was just being polite.
Yeah, probably.
Nobody actually reads the thing. Anyway, 3 weeks, guys. When we left, we'd just beaten Yeovil and we were trying to get our heads around the end of the transfer window. Lots happened since. It's almost been three games of two halves, though, because if you looked at almost up to the 97th minute of the Leeds game, you'd be painting a very different picture of what was going on at Reading Football Club, but... Since the last minute winner for Alfie and then a big win at Derby, suddenly it's all looking rosy again. What are your thoughts in general over the last couple of weeks?
Thoughts in general, I'd say if you look at Reading over the last few matches, I'd probably say they're playing 6 out of 10. They're not even playing well and none of the games have been super exciting, but it's a good sign that they're dragging out results. And to go to Derby, I was surprised that they turned them over as easily as they did. Derby didn't really threaten them, but all in all, 6 out of 10 performances and they're winning games, so I think that's a great sign.
You go into those three games and you say, we'll get 7 points from them. And you say, that's a fantastic return, especially on the back of everything we'd seen towards the start of the window, towards the start of the season. And yeah, as you say, the performances weren't great, but I thought against Leeds, there were noticeable signs that we were getting better. Brighton, not so much. Obviously, we'll come on to these three games and cover them in more detail. And obviously, to go to Derby and score three, I mean, they're not the best at home, but, you know, we still did the job and still... won convincingly in the end, so no complaints here.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of what happened in the last Championship season, really. They started quite badly, although we didn't quite start as badly this time around, but then they just slowly ground into form, didn't they? Got a bit of a lucky win over Bristol City and then beat Doncaster and teams like that. And as you said, Westy, getting results when you're playing not at your best is a great sign.
And the key is, as well, they're using the squad, and we said this would be important in a Championship. You sometimes just play three games in a week. Has a lot of injuries against Derby and they still managed to turn them over. So again, it's another great
sign. Yeah, and it sort of does allay the fears that we had after the Peterborough game. You know, a lot of people were, you know, going off the deep end saying, no, the squad's awful, it's rubbish, we're not going to do anything. And I think a lot of players have proven that if you plug them into a proper lineup, they can do the job.
Match fitness. That's what it talks about. Then players who played against Peterborough had no match fitness and Peterborough played six games at that point. It's no surprise it got turned over, really.
Right, so we'll obviously start with the most important game of them all, the Oman game. No, nobody
went.
No, we got beat.
Even us diehards wouldn't bother going to that.
The only thing I'll say is, again, it didn't particularly add to great atmosphere around the club, did it? You know, in the international week, you know, just another beating after a poor transfer window.
But match fitness, like I say, they've got 90 minutes, some of them. Pogrebniak, all right, he's come into form, he scored a couple of goals this week. They need them games under their belts and they got one, so that's the way you got to look at it.
It was heartwarming to see the Oman team celebrating.
Oh, lovely.
As if they'd won the World Cup now.
Brilliant.
Holding up this little trophy that Reading have just got out of the club shop.
At the end of the day, it's something a bit unique and it was something that would be a pub quiz question down the line. He was the last club to play an international side.
I'm looking forward to the away match.
Yeah.
The second leg.
Yeah. We're 50% in internationals now. We beat Italy. We lost to Oman, so, you know, it's...
Yeah, we'll have to get Rich on and ask him whether Star are going to run a coach.
Mm.
Right. Boat. So, anyway, in all seriousness, the first game, sort of back after the international break, was a televised game with Leeds on Sunday afternoon. Not Leeds, sorry, Brighton on the Sunday afternoon. I was obviously tanning myself in Spain. I didn't see this one live. I've seen the highlights since. Johnny, you covered it for the website. What were your impressions of that game?
It was a difficult one.
What to cover?
Yeah. Completely.
I mean, a lot to talk about.
Yeah, no, I mean, with the two sendings off, it was just, it just felt like a bit of a non-game, especially in the second half. And we didn't really have that many clear-cut chances, or chances that forced Kuchak into a save, whereas McCarthy, as it seems to be McCarthy more and more these days, made two or three cracking stops, or, you know, at least had to dive and get his shirt dirty. It wasn't, if anything, it proved to me that Lafondre isn't the man up top, because we kept booting it up there and he just wasn't there. And Pogrebniak, well, we'll get on to Pogrebniak's red card, but for me, it wasn't a particularly good sign. Obviously, the rest of the week went really well, but at that point, I was thinking, oh, not much has changed and we need to do something here.
A couple of, you mentioned the team changes. Pogrebniak getting the start as well. Stephen Kelly got a start and Danny Williams all got a start as well. What did you make of any of them? Any of those impress you on that day?
Well, Pogrebniak was doing okay, but again, it was two petty fouls that got him his yellow cards. Kelly, I've always been a big fan of Kelly, and you know, he's just more assured for me. He's a far better defender than Chris Gunter, and I mean, to be fair to him, you know, I said Gunter goes forward and gets forward well, and you know, does the overlap, but there are a couple of chances we got down the right with Kelly bombing forward, so it wasn't necessarily that Gunter's the best attacking option. I think Kelly has proven himself that he can fit just as well into the system and what Adkins wants to do as Chris Gunter.
I would say as well, McCarthy's been massive in the fact that Redden haven't conceded so many goals at the start of the season. If it wasn't for him, let's face it, we would have had no clean sheets, because he's made some top class saves in most of his games. Against Brighton he did, against Leeds he did, and against Yeovil and teams like that we turned over just about. You can thank him a lot for it, because he's made some top saves at top time.
Yeah, you don't get anywhere in this division without a good goalkeeper. I know Federici's been a bit maligned, but you know, again, in the last championship season he was fantastic, and Marcus Hanneman in 2005-06. So we've mentioned Pogrebniak's red card. I've seen the foul since. Westy, both bookings for you. Did he deserve to go?
I think the first one, a lot of people said he hasn't touched him, but why is he making a tackle like that? The mate, he's running across him, he's got no chance of getting the ball, when he's dived in, you're asking for trouble. The mate, he's gone down in instalments, admittedly, but even so, he's asking for trouble. The second one, it was a foul. He's overemphasised it. From where the referee was, to be fair to the referee, he couldn't see that pull down on Pogrebniak's shirt. He's chucked his arms in the air. I think you're asking for trouble. There was no need to get sent off in that game, to get two stupid bookings that, in my opinion, were both his fault. He's got no one to blame but himself. And we was lucky, the fact that their mate got sent off straight after that, as we'd lost that game.
Johnny?
Yeah, no, I think on that point with the referee, I think he sort of, and you know, it's fair enough to him, but he went to his pocket before he realised that Pogrebniak had already been booked. You know, if he realised Pogrebniak had already been booked, he might have gone, okay, look, this is your last warning. You know, that is it. Anything more from you and you're going to be off. I think he was fair enough with the first one as well. You know, it's not all about making contact. It's about intent as well. And, you know, we say all these things about intent. And even if you don't make contact with someone and they skip the challenge, you know, referee plays advantage.
It's still a foul.
And then comes back and books them. So just because he waited about 2 or 3 seconds and then came back and booked him, I think that was fair enough.
Also, I thought the referee was consistent. He got his yellow card out from the very beginning of the match, so everyone knew what to expect, and he kept doing that all through the game. So people moan about consistency. If you're going to be consistently booking players, then you've got to do it all through the match, and that's exactly what he'd done.
Hasn't he sent off, I think it's 5 players involved in Brighton games this year? They must be sick of the sight of him.
Oh, he is a bit keen to see
Brighton. Brighton Leeds last season, he sent off 3 players in that match, and this season he sent off 2. So yeah. Brighton are not looking forward to the next time they see him.
No. Deserve red card?
I'd say on the balance of things. Oh, for Brighton, absolutely.
It
was completely. And, you know, it's a sort of agricultural tackle that 10 years ago you'd have just said, you know, that's a part of the game. But the game's changed. To be fair to Pearce, he didn't stay down. He didn't milk it. He just got straight up. He wasn't even in the ref's face going, you know, red card. He just got on with it, and fair enough to him. And I actually thought Pearce might have been next on the chopping block, so to speak, because he'd already had a yellow card, and Aloha was really getting the better of him.
Yeah, pace was giving him a problem all the match, I thought.
Okay, well, point from that game, not the best, but a clean sheet, second in a row, not too bad to go away from that game. Next game, been built up to ever since Brian McDermott took over at Leeds, and Reading's relegation was confirmed. A couple of changes for Reading. Wayne Bridge came back in for Chris Gunter. while Blackman was in for Lafondra and Harrobson Knut came in for Pavel Pogrebniak. Before we start, guys, what sort of reception did Brian McDermott and Nigel Gibbs get? And obviously Noel Hunt as well making a return to the Mid-AC Stadium. Good round of applause for him?
Yeah, it was quite a good round of applause at the start. You know, he sort of came out. He didn't really over-egg it, do the whole Medeski get in the middle, you know, wait to the fans thing. But no, it was a good performance. And I think a good ovation that he got. And, you know, I think it was just the sort of the typical. Reading fans are quite good like that. You know, before the game, we'll cheer them. And Noel Hunt, when his name was read out, announcer sort of gave a little bit of a pause and there was a good reception for him. As soon as the game starts, it's over. You're back in the game. And you're back in the face of it.
And when he came off, well, when he was substituted, I thought he got a good ovation. But for McDermott now, I don't know because I was in a pub, so if I'm honest.
the place to be. Obviously, other than the win, obviously, Lafondra grabs a late goal and we take 3 points. But the other main talking point, an incident in this game, was Jem Carrachan's injury. Poor guy, he must absolutely hate playing Leeds. I still don't think Redden have actually confirmed how long he's going to be out for, but all the noises coming out of the club are saying it's very serious, and I'll be surprised to see him certainly this year and possibly for the whole season. How much of a blow is that for us, Westy?
Well, it's a real shame because I thought he started the season excellent and he's been one of our standout players, and his energy in midfield has got a lot to do with the fact that we've been getting some good results. But with the replacement, I'm sure we can take it later on, it's a good experience replacement. I think hopefully we won't miss him too much.
Like you say, at the start of the season, I don't think we'd have missed him too much. But no. The way he has started, and we'll see from the Player of the Month that we get onto later, he has been a consistent performer, if not one of the, you know, well, one of the top three players we've had in August and going into September as well. You know, I said as well before the season, I thought we brought in Danny Williams to replace Jem Carrachan, but Jem Carrachan's just been undroppable.
Yeah, he's kicked him out.
So before the season, I would have said it's not as big of a miss as we do think it is now.
Yeah, I can't really say any more than that. So I think he's had a really good start to the season. Obviously, he added a few goals to the mix as well, played really well against Watford.
It seems like he's been released under Atkins rather than he did have McDermott.
I think he said as much as well. He said, you know, people have got this impression of me, but, you know, we're playing a different style of football now. I think that suits me more. I don't know how many times I've said it on this podcast. I've always felt that Carrachan was underachieving and was always hoping it'd turn into that Sidwell kind of box-to-box dynamo rather than a bit of a James Harper-y crab type. And it finally looked as if he was going to be given the freedom to do that. And this is just such a blow. Fingers crossed he comes back. Obviously, wish him all the best in his recovery. Really great lad around the dressing room as well. So I'm sure he'll stick around that way. And
see, the thing is with Carrachan, the way he plays, 100 mile an hour, getting people's faces, he always wants to be involved in a tackle. He's always going to pick at him sort of injuries because he gives everything he's got. And I think as a fan, that's all you can ask of any player.
Yeah. Well, as you know, not Johnny, again, you cover this one for the website. Was this any better than the Brighton game in terms of any performance? Did they look a bit more of a goal threat?
I thought it was a lot better, personally, in that we actually forced Paddy Kenny to make some saves. And yes, we were lucky to get the goal in the 97th minute or 98th minute or whatever it was. But
Johnny, I thought we was lucky not to concede just before that because Matty had a free header.
Morrison had three free headers.
I know.
He could have had a hat-trick. And your bet.
My bet.
You must have been crying, tearing it up.
But listen to this. This is the worst thing about this, right? I do that bet every week. I'm stuck with it. Morrison score first goal and then score in the game. So if he does score, I'm on about £200 to £300, yeah?
Right.
He had three absolute sitter headers that he missed, yeah? And when Reading scored, they announced it as Morrison's goal. Right? So not only was I celebrating the last minute strike, that I was running down the tunnel counting my money, £188, until I got into the pub and I was buying the drinks and Matty said, oh no, they've given it to Lafondra. I'd already done £30 buying drinks for everyone, thinking I had £188 in the bank, but no. But it rolls over. We keep going with it.
We move on.
I can't stop now.
Lafondra, once again, late goal from the bench. Fantastic. He just pops up with these key goals all the time. The only thing to ask, and I suppose this moves into the Derby game, is that, again, he doesn't get the start following a goal. How much longer is he going to... Do you think he'll be happy... If he is, you know, he's our top scorer of the season, he still can't get a start.
We've discussed it before, Lafondra. I don't think he can play up front on his own. So if you're going to do that, and whenever he starts, I don't rate him. I really don't think he adds anything to the side whatsoever. If you try and hit him, you can't. He can't run beyond people. He can't win a ball in the air. He's not big and strong. He offers you absolutely nothing. I thought Robson Kanu, I was surprised he got taken off because I thought he led the line really well in that game. And what he does offer you and if you look at the next match as well, he offers you that bit of pace as well, and he's strong, and he's not a finisher like Lafondo. Mm. I'll be quite honest to admit that. But I thought he had a good game up front. I thought it made a hell of a difference, the fact that even with Blackman and Carney up front together, you could hit them, and it wasn't bouncing off them, or they wasn't getting anywhere near it, you know what I mean, like Lafondre does. So Lafondre's just got to learn that he is a 30-minute player, and it's as simple as that. It don't matter how many years you go past, we've done three seasons with him now, and whenever he's come off the bench, he's looking for it. Whenever he starts, he doesn't.
No,
personally.
I said in the player ratings that I did, I think I actually gave him a 5 or a 6. You know, I said, yeah, he popped up with a goal, and how much he knew about it is another question, but in the last 20 minutes when we were trying to hit it up to him, he just wasn't holding anything. That the one he got the free kick from and the guy got sent off from, that was about the only one that he managed to control and then do something with. For the other 20 minutes, he was just lost.
The more I watch Lafondre, the more he reminds me of Cureton. Cureton was only any good if he was in the box and the ball dropped to him. And it dropped to him because he knew how to get in the right positions. Lafondre's exactly the same. If you're giving the ball anywhere else, you're absolutely wasting your time.
And Kieran had those seasons where he would score 25 goals a season, but then he'd have a season where he'd only get 10.
Mm-hmm.
And just like he was squeezed out for Nicky Forster, I think you could end up seeing Lafondre squeezed out for a new striker if they come in. But I think we'll come on to that a little bit later.
But what a threat he is off the bench. That's the thing.
No, brilliant.
And it's his game. He's got 30 minutes and you know he'd probably get you a goal. And if you can do that every week or a regular basis, then I don't see why you'd be upset about
it. Well, this is it. I mean, from Reading's point of view, from a fan's point of view, you absolutely love having Lafondre on the bench. I think my only question is Adam Lafondre happy? I think he was mentioning last year when he was getting the Premier League Player of the Month that he didn't want to be a sub player, and I just hope that,
yeah, but then it's down to him to prove it he can do it during a match, and he hasn't, so it's his own problem. If he's not unhappy, then do something about it, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, so good win, another clean sheet as well, 3 on the bounce heading up to Derby, a team who had started the season pretty well. They hadn't been very good at home, hadn't picked up a win at home, but you know, picked up some decent away wins this season, so they were up there. Loads of changes to the team due to injuries and suspensions. I'll go through the team before. The back five was McCarthy, Kelly, Pierce, Morrison and Gunter. Midfield was new signing Chris Baird. Jordan Obita made his full league debut. Danny Guthrie, Hal Robson, Carney and Gath McCleary. And the pod came straight in after suspension. Obviously, Chris Baird came in making that debut. And Jordan Obita started as well. A lot of talking points. And we mentioned the squad and the depth of it. To cobble together this sort of side and then go and win 3-1, I think speaks volumes. I think brilliant result in the circumstances.
It was, and I was impressed with Baird, and I think he's a good player. I've always liked it. Things with him, he's a steady Premier League footballer. So in the Championship, you've got a great footballer. And I noticed him at the start of the match when they was in the huddle, and he was the one who was shouting the orders. He was the one saying, look, let's go out and win this game. And if you can do that on your first week at a club, then what can you do when you've been there 6 months? I think that's a great signing. It's a great replacement for Karajan. It's a proper Premier League footballer who is steady. It'd be a 7 out of 10 player every week, where there's not many can say that. And I would say as well, when you look at that forward line, if Podgorzelski's on his game, which he was this week, with them two flanking him with that pace, that is a proper forward line as far as I'm concerned in this division. Because Carney looks a lot match fitter. We've moaned about him being overweight and not looking match fit. Now he looks like he is match fit. And McCleary's probably one of the standout wingers in this league anyhow on his day. So with that bit of pace either side of Podgorzelski and Podgorzelski playing the way we know he can, that I think is the best forward line for us at this moment.
I was going to say, the match winner, a big fellow Russian, fellow of a Russian. Is it, I said I jumped off the Pog bandwagon a few weeks ago. I think in our last show I said, oh, that's it, I'm finally done.
Cart horse pulling it along.
Yeah, exactly. And suddenly he's the flavour of the month. You can download his exclusive wallpaper from the official website.
Yeah.
And he's suddenly the best thing since sliced bread.
Follow him on Twitter as well.
Oh, yeah. And his
TV show as well, and he got there as well.
Yeah. What is, oh, no. No, no, let's not go.
Russians in Chelsea. Russians in London.
Russians in London.
Deary me. In all seriousness, though, this is the program that we wanted to see, wasn't it? This is what we hoped when the transfer window shut, that we'd get a player who was fully focused again and was determined to work hard, and credit to him. You know, a lot, the sending off could have finished him, and I don't know if everyone had been fit, whether Nigel Atkins would have picked him. Did pick him, scored 2 goals. Is it time to hop back on the bandwagon?
The thing was, when Nigel Atkins came out, he said, you know, well, as he calls him, Big Pav. Big Pav has been training well. He's shown that he's up for it. And you didn't want that to be a soundbite. You wanted him to actually be up for it, come out, show that he wants to play for the club. After 40 minutes at Brighton, you thought, no, No. But the way he's gone up to Derby, where they play long ball football and he doesn't want to be in the Championship and acquitted himself, scored two good goals. You know, admittedly, the ball fell for him kindly. But, you know, his all-round performance was good as well. And I think as long as he stays in the mood, then perhaps, you know, we could have one of the top Championship strikers on our hands. Whether he's doing that because he realises, OK, I can't get a move before I show that I can play football, that might be the case. But as long as he's banging in the goals for us and putting in the performances, I don't mind.
This is what he should have been doing from the beginning. How he wasn't, I don't know. We said for a Russian international footballer in the Championship, he should be hitting 20 goals for the season. He's a big, strong lad. He should be able to score goals in this division. I also would say that it's probably, to be fair to Nigel Atkins, you've got to look at him and say, well done, good man management. He's backed him all the way. He could have turned on him, which a lot of managers would have done, said, pull your finger out. But he hasn't. He's put his arm around him. He's given him all the plaudits he could. And thankfully, he's come in this week anyway and showed him that he can score goals in this league. And we said, again, against Man City, I thought last year he was excellent. He can do it. It's all down to him now with his attitude.
And he's a very underrated finisher, I think. I think if you looked at the actual number of chances he had last year, I think he did pretty well. I know he had a couple of high-profile misses, but you look at his goals against West Ham, obviously that header against Chelsea. The guy can finish, and those two goals...
Tottenham he scored against. He scored against some top sides.
Yeah.
And he was a 1-in-3 striker before he came to us in all the top divisions that he played in. So you'd expect in the Championship you'd be a 2-in-3, wouldn't you?
Yeah. If he gets 15, 20 goals a season, I really think we'll have a very good chance at the top two. But, yeah... The other man to get on the score sheet as well, I'm interested in your reaction to this, was Nick Blackman. Scores a good finish, good work from Carney chasing down a long ball and then laying it off, and you know Blackman puts it in the net. A lot of reaction to his celebration though. He kind of gave it the bit of the Cantona standing in front of the away fans, kind of no selling it and sort of... Whether that's just a pre-planned celebration or he was making a statement to the Reading fans who have admittedly been giving him some fans anyway, yeah, been some, giving him some stick. Do you think that sort of reaction was justified or?
I think it was personally. Maybe not. Well, it's a difficult one because I think it was against Brighton when he got subbed off. He was booed by, I wouldn't say a majority, maybe about 100, 150 fans. But. You know, we had that sort of scapegoat last year with McEnough and Ledgerwood. Whenever they did anything wrong, fans would get on their back. Whenever anyone else did anything wrong, it would be sort of, give it another go. And I thought Guthrie was a particular poster boy for this last year. Because Guthrie made a lot of mistakes last year, but you sort of said, he's a Premiership class footballer. He'll get over them. He's allowed to make these mistakes. Hopefully, this is now the end of it. And Reading fans can see that Nick Blackman, you know, he's giving his all. He might not be the top Championship striker that other clubs have or that we want him to be, but he's giving his all every game. And I actually thought he had a decent game against Brighton as well. So, you know, that's my...
The thing is with Nick Blackman, he's only 23, 24.
Yeah.
Can you see progression in him? Yes, I can. Why do Reading fans think that at 23 he's going to be the finished article? He's come straight out of League One, he's gone to Premier League. He's not really played a lot for Reading, in and out. I think he shows sometimes his own signs that he's a good player and sometimes he doesn't, but I think that he has got progression in him and I think the management team see that at Reading and I just would say, just give him this season and then we'll judge him at the end of it.
Yeah, no, I think I said in the five things after the Bolton game, I didn't get the hate for Nick Blackman before the game and I agree with you, Johnny. I think he's almost been made the scapegoat for the failings of, I don't know, almost the club to strengthen. It's not Nick Blackman's fault that he's one of the only forward options and that he's got to learn on the job, as it were. Mm. That's the club's fault and he's given everything he's got. You know, he's a £1 million player. He's our most expensive striker we've ever signed. Give him time. We've made the comparison as well. Shane Long got a lot of stick before he burst onto the scene and look what happened there. Yeah, and look exactly what's happened there. So it's fair to stick with him.
But another thing to Nick Blackman, another point from Nick Blackman is when Nick Blackman's played football for any other club, even Reading when he came here, he was probably used to being a target, someone they'd hit and let him run, whereas now he's been asked to hold the ball and play football. Again, a lot of them are learning on the job, like you said, Wim, and I would just say, we're judging at the end of this season, Nick Blackman. At the end of the season, if they're still thinking he's not a good footballer, fair enough, I agree with them. But until the end of this year, when he's had a full season in the Championship, then judge him, because I think he can progress and I think he will progress.
Yeah, so just rounding up then those three games and 7 points out of 9. Do you think that was a fair tally for us to get, or do you think we maybe have been a little bit fortunate?
I think we were fortunate to get them points. I think we would have lost against Brighton if they wouldn't have had a sending off. Leeds probably should have scored against us at the end. If you want to look at the changing moments in the game, I was stood right behind Drenton when he took the free kick. I'd already come down to the front. And I was literally as close as I could be, and I screamed at him. I won't say exactly what I said.
But I
made it quite clear that I wanted him to put it on the penalty spot, and he did. So I'm claiming assist on that one. So I won us that game, and then we move on to the derby game. And no, I think we were fortunate to get 7 points, but we did. And like I said at the top of the show, to get 7 points, not playing well, against, again, getting to derby with a load of injuries, if you think that's a bad sign, I personally don't. I think if you can get a 6 out of 10 performance, which Reading are putting in, with injuries, and you pick up 7 points to get top championship teams, I think they're going to be there or thereabouts.
We've only conceded one goal in 4 games, which is the best. I think that's the best. You know, everyone says you've got to keep clean sheets to win games, and so far we've pretty much done that.
It's a great finish as well, that one.
Mm, it really was. I mean, he's going to be an absolute star of the future, Will Hughes. But to me, we're still not scoring enough. Yes, we scored 3 at Derby, but in the 6 games before that, we'd only scored 2. And one of them was a penalty at Yeovil, and the other one was, I think it was it a deflection, possibly?
Yeah.
Oh no, it was the last minute goal against Leeds. So we're still having a few problems scoring goals, but hopefully we've turned the corner now. You see that Derby performance and we scored 3. There were 3 decent goals as well. And you just hope that we will kick on, and hopefully, you know, as we'll discuss later, we've got 6 winnable games.
Yeah, we've got a good run of games now to pick up some points, hopefully.
This has been a difficult start for us, and we've got through it, and we're just outside the top 6. I'm perfectly happy with the way we're going.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, as I said, if you'd offered me 7 points out of 9 from those 2 games, absolutely bit your hand off. And yeah, we move on, and we're, you know, only a couple of points away from the automatic promotion places again. So the doom and gloom has lifted.
It's not all the way out scoring goals. QPR have only scored 8 all season. Yeah, no, top of the league.
And we've mentioned, you know, other teams like Birmingham. When Birmingham went up the season after we got relegated under McLeish, they barely scored any. Just kept winning games 1-0, didn't they?
When we went up, we only scored about 65, 70 goals winning the league. It was the defence that made us go up.
It's keeping clean sheets, and we've got the best goalkeeper in that league, and he's kept us in games so far. Mm. And I think we'll get stronger as the season goes on, because, again, a lot of people haven't played together before. We've changed the system. Atkins still doesn't know what his best side is, I don't think. And I think Reading will get stronger and stronger as the season goes on.
Lovely. Right, well, thanks for that, guys. We'll move on now, and we'll speak to Get Reading reporter Charles Watts to give us all the latest news around the club.
Reading News Bites on the Tarlhurst End podcast.
Charles, welcome back to the show. Thanks for taking time again to join us.
No problem. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad, thank you. Getting back into the swing of things. And good. Yeah, it's always nice to come back from a break when Reading have actually been playing well, and you can savour all the match reports and read the papers and things like that. It's a good time again to be a Reading fan after a long period, I think, of kind of shying away from trying to read and write stuff about the club. It's nice.
It is nice. It is nice. Yeah, it's certainly been a good week, really. I suppose after the Brighton game, it wasn't quite looking quite so pretty. And I suppose if the referee had blown a whistle after 95 minutes against Leeds, then maybe again, it wouldn't have been looking quite so nice. But no, it's been very good. 2 wins and a draw, 7 points from 9. Can't really complain, can you?
No, not at all. We've just been sort of through the games with the guys here. But just very quickly, what were your thoughts on those 3 games individually? Do you think Reading got the right results in each of them?
I think they did. Yeah, I don't think they deserved any more than they got against Brighton. It was a poor game, not good to watch. Obviously the sendings off didn't help before in the first half, but I don't think either side were playing particularly well before either of their players got sent off in that one. So yeah, I think that was a point was fair enough. Leeds game again, it wasn't pretty. It was better than the Brighton game. There was more attacking play from Reading, certainly. I don't think Leeds did too much going forward, although they didn't play particularly badly. I think Reading just about shaded it, and I mean, I don't think they would have complained if they'd have got a point from it. But to get 3 so late on, not going to turn that down, are you? It's good old Alfie popping up in Alfie time against Brian McDermott. There's a bit of irony in that, isn't there?
Very, very much so. Did you get a chance to speak to Brian after the game?
No, I didn't actually. I was downstairs trying to grab the players, and Brian, the manager, sort of gets shepherded past us upstairs, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him. But I sort of listened to his interviews, obviously, afterwards, and you know, he's very humble about it all, and said he enjoyed coming back and enjoyed seeing some of the faces. But he would have certainly liked it if he'd have left with a point rather than leaving with a 96th minute goal.
He knows about that player all too well, and he's got him out at jail half time. So I don't think he'll begrudge him in the end. And then to go up to Derby and win in quite emphatic fashion, really.
Yeah, a very good result, really good performance. So certainly a very good second half performance. I'd say it's the best display of the season, really. I think first half they were solid, didn't give too much away. I think Derby probably just about shaded the first 45 minutes, but you know, they're at Reading, that didn't let them get away from or anything like that. They sort of restricted them to long range shots, and McCarthy made a few good saves, sort of dealt with everything that he had to. I think he would have been disappointed if he'd let any of the shots in that first half. But then, yeah, second half got off to a perfect start with a goal, sort of 1 or 2 minutes in, and never looked back, really. It was a really, really decent display and a very good away win. I know Derby haven't been too good at home so far this season. I don't think they've won a game yet. They've only got 1 point from four. But take nothing away from Reading. I thought it was an excellent performance and yeah, very, very positive signs.
One of those players who put a very good shift at Derby was our new signing, Chris Baird.
Yes.
He's joined on a six-month deal. Have you had a chance to speak to Chris? And also, just interesting, why Reading have only signed him for 6 months?
I think it's actually less than that. I think it's 4 months, isn't it? They got him.
January, I think, isn't it?
Is it? Yeah, January. So it's a short term. No, I actually spoke to Chris today, actually, about sort of 4 o'clock this afternoon. And yeah, he wants to stay for longer than that. He says we'll get to January and see what happens. But he's planning for a longer stay. And I don't see why on earth he would leave in January. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You've got a player, a very decent player there, really good quality, bags full of experience. I just can't see why you'd let him go in January when, especially if you're in and around it in the mix. You know, why would you let a player go? So I think he'll stay certainly till the end of the season. I'm sure it'll just be something in his contract written there, which they just have to tick a box in January and he stays longer. It wouldn't make any sense to see him leave. And he showed on Saturday. I thought it was fantastic. He sort of fitted in seamlessly, really, and in a position that certainly I saw when the signing arrived. I saw it as more defensive cover because Mariappa had gone, but I didn't really think of it as midfield. And then straight away I saw Atkins' quote saying that's what he brought him in as cover for Jim. And speaking to him today, he didn't even know of any Reading interest until Thursday evening. It happened that quickly. He got a call Thursday evening, was in Hogwood on Friday morning and travelling up to Derby later on. So it was a very rapid turnaround.
Well, it's nice to see that Reading can get a deal done quickly after the deadline.
It can be done.
Yeah, very much so. The question that we've been getting tweeted constantly, and I'm sure you've had it as well, Billy Sharp.
Yes, Billy
Sharp. Is this deal happening? Is it not happening?
I think it's happening. I think it'll happen before the weekend. Not that that's coming from much from Reading side of things. I'm coming up against Brickwall when it comes to Reading, but I'm pretty sure it's going to happen before Birmingham on Saturday. I think it was all pretty much done before the weekend. I think Nicola Cortese, or Cortese, however you pronounce it, has got involved. I think he was a little bit peeved that reports started entering the internet and stuff like that around Friday, and I think he's got a little bit annoyed with it, and the deal's been held back somewhat because of that. But I think it's all going to be going ahead for Saturday. I mean, don't hold me to that. Something could happen. It could go wrong. But if I was a betting man, I would probably be safely putting a fiver on him being possibly involved on Saturday, but certainly at the club ahead of Saturday.
Do you think it's to do with Nigel Atkins, obviously, his history with Southampton, and perhaps there's still a little bit of animosity or, you know, a clause in his contract, something to do with that? Or is it simply just that these deals take time?
It probably doesn't help that, but I don't think that this is being held up because of the two and the relationship they have. I mean, obviously, there's still a court case pending between Nigel and Southampton and unfair dismissal and all that. And so, yeah, the two aren't exactly going to be sending Christmas cards to each other in a few months' time, but I don't think that's having too much of an effect on deal. From what I understand, Cortese was a bit irked about the fact that things started coming out and people were reporting that it was a done deal on Friday, and I think he got a little bit annoyed. And I think we all know, I mean, I've never spoken to Cortese or anything like that, but I think he's not the most easy man to get on with, and he gets annoyed by quite a lot of things. So I think it's a little bit of a hold up, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's done before this weekend.
Good news on that front. The only other main sort of news talking point over the past couple of weeks, there's been a little bit of a focus on this deadline for Anton Zengarevich to complete his purchase of the club. Without getting into any, I mean, there's been lots of rumours and speculation about this, that and the other going around. How do you understand the deal as it stands at the moment? Is there anything for any fans to be worried about, or is this just going to be formalities completed?
I think it's formalities complete. I don't think there's anything to be worrying about, certainly from the club side of it. That's what they're sticking to, and all the murmurings coming out of the club is everything is on track, and the deal, it has to be done by, well, it doesn't have to be. The deadline is the end of the month, but I think it can be delayed further after that. So it's kind of a deadline, but not a deadline, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
I think there's easily clauses where it can be put back a little bit until things are done. So, I think people have been stirring. There's lots of whispers flying around that suddenly these whispers just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But as far as I'm aware, that everything is fine and on track, and things will be done. And you know, that's as far as I'm aware. So I don't think there's anything certainly to be worried about. Certainly some of the things that have been going around are just completely fabricated and Chinese whispers turning into things that are bigger than they are. So yeah, I'm not even going to repeat some of them, but it was, yeah, as far as I'm aware, it's all on track and should be done by the end of the month. But if it's not done on the end of the month, it's not anything to worry about.
Okay, well, that's certainly weight off the mind. I think the original takeover got delayed and delayed and delayed anyway. So I think that's just the way these things work out.
I think
that's right. So go on.
No, that's all I was saying. I think just as how the takeover went through at the beginning, like you said, there was delays, and I think that can easily happen again this time. So I don't think, like I said, nothing to worry about.
Lovely stuff. And right, so back to on the pitch matters. A couple of games before we'll talk again. Birmingham on Saturday, and then a trip to Barnsley. On paper, two very winnable games. What do you expect to see from those two?
Well, like I said, two very winnable games. It's a really tough run actually coming up, because you've got Birmingham Saturday, and you've got Barnsley Tuesday, then Burnley the week after that. I mean, the Saturday after that. So it's a lot of travel. Two long journeys up the M6. It's a difficult period, but you know, Reading are playing well and they're full of confidence. I don't see why they should be going there. Well, having Birmingham on Saturday and then going up to Barnsley worrying about anything. I think they'll be targeting 6 points, and I don't see why they can't get them. Injuries are the only little concern at the moment. It's a little bit walking wounded after the Leeds game that really took its toll. That one, it was a real physical encounter. I was in the mix zone afterwards, and Danny Williams and Royston Drennett could barely get up the stairs. They were limping so heavily.
Yeah.
I think they were impact injuries. I don't think they're anything to be really concerned about. And Wayne Bridge as well. I think as last time I spoke to Nigel anyway, he expected that Wayne Bridge would be all right for Saturday. I'm obviously going down Hogwood on Thursday, and I'll find out some more on Royston and Danny. But yeah, they certainly, I think they understood what the Championship was all about after that game against Leeds. But, you know, if they're back, then, you know, I don't see why Reading will have any problems against either side. Birmingham had a good result at the weekend, didn't they? Old Lingard, whatever his name is, had a debut to remember, scoring all four goals. I don't think he'll be doing that again.
Well,
don't
not.
Well, yeah, I shouldn't say that. I'm probably sticking five now. I said that. but yeah, it was. You know, I'm fully expecting a Reading win on Saturday and again on Tuesday.
What? Okay, score predictions first. Birmingham.
Birmingham. Let me say it in paper. I got the Derby result right for the first for the first time. 22-1 it was as well. I wish I'd stuck a fiver on it.
We talk about our winnings, Charles.
Yeah.
So yeah, Reading Birmingham. I'd go 2-0 Reading, and probably 2-1. Well, 2-1 up in Burnley. Maybe a draw. Obviously, Burnley are playing very well, and it's a tough one on a Tuesday night. So maybe take 4 points from six. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they get six from six.
Lovely stuff. And you mentioned again, that's Hogwood, and you've had a chat with Chris Baird. What can we expect to see in the paper and on the website this week?
Yeah, we've got a bit from Chris Baird coming over the both papers. So one in tomorrow. When's this going?
This should hopefully be out Wednesday evening.
Wednesday, yeah. So the paper that comes out tomorrow or today, if you listen to it on Wednesday, that'll have, yeah. We've got Chris Baird in there. We've got a bit from Jordan Abita. Obviously made his league debut up at Derby, did very well. And yeah, he was chuffed to bits afterwards. So we got a nice bit with him. Got a bit with Super Pav, goal scoring machine that he is. which was quite a hilarious interview afterwards in broken Russian, / English. So yeah, we got some of that coming up. And yeah, we'll have more beds on Thursday as well, because I had a nice chat with him today and sort of split that over the two papers.
Lovely. Are you Twitter chatting on Wednesday? I suppose just in case this does make it out any earlier.
I possibly will. I'm not entirely sure yet, because there's something going on in the office tomorrow, a sort of charity fundraising thing. And so I'm not sure how long that's going to take or what the deal is, but I might try. The thing is, I know full well if I do every question that it's going to be Billy Sharp. So I might wait till that one's done and dusted before starting that up again.
Maybe just put out just a page of the website, just everything you've heard on Billy Sharp, and then say gone fishing or something along those lines.
It's unbelievable, honestly. Whatever tweet I put out now, whatever it is about, the first reply is Billy Sharp. Is it happening? It's like, what? I don't know. I've told you everything I know.
Well, fingers crossed that deal gets done. Charles, Thanks very much again for joining us. Where can we follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, it's usual @Charles_Watts.
Lovely stuff, then. Speak to you next week.
Brilliant. Cheers, boys.
Speak Cheers, to Charles.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
So, obviously, as we mentioned, the big thing everybody's been asking this week, last week, probably since the summer, loan signing of Billy Sharp. Charles seems to think it's going to happen on that proviso that we do get Sharp signed. Good move as far as you're concerned?
I think it was a cracking move, to be honest. However, it does seem to come at a time when Pavel Bukrevniak has suddenly decided that he can be bothered again, or it can be involved in the squad again. You've got Blackman scoring on Saturday. You've got Lafondre scoring on Wednesday night. So, you know, there's a slight question from me as to whether he will bring something different. And then there's also the question of, we're still playing one up top, or, you know, sort of winger slash strikers. Where does Sharp fit into that? Does Adkins try and change everything again to accommodate him? Or, you know, if he does come in, it will be a positive move because it's another striking option we've got. That's what I'll say on that.
Well, I've seen Billy Sharp play up front on his own a couple of times for Doncaster, and what Billy Sharp does offer you, he's a menace, he's a pain, he's one of those strikers that will chase you down and race after, where we probably haven't got that striker. And the question you have to ask is, will Billy Sharp be an addition to that squad, a good addition to that squad, and will he push everyone who's in forward areas? I think he definitely will. I mean, Kanu, like we said, stepped in this week. You've got Blackman, who is not convinced everybody. You've got Lafondre, who say he can't start up front his own. We've got Podgorzelny, who plays when he wants to. So to have a player that is a top-level championship player and has proved it and has played in the Premier League, I think it will be the best striker at the club. So to have him here, I think it would only be a bonus for us.
Yeah, no, I agree. He's a player that scored goals at this level. You know, Adkins knows him. He signed him for Southampton. Again, the only slight question I'd have is Sharp going to be fully happy coming here and with the idea of a long-term signing if Adkins was so happy to ditch him in the Premier League the first time? But in terms of a short-term signing, he's one of the best strikers that's available out there. He's going to take time to get up to match fitness. He's not really played much for Southampton. He was on loan. Was it Forest he was at late last year? Was it Middlesbrough?
Yeah.
I can't remember. He was on loan in the Championship last year, but he's not had regular football, certainly since the end of last year. So it'll take a while. But, you know, when we are playing Saturday, Tuesday football, when we're struggling with injuries, I think it'll be a cracking little buy.
And like I say, keep everyone on their toes, especially in forward areas. And you know that you've got a player that has scored goals in the Championship. Not only that, he's played for poor sides, say Doncaster, and still scored a lot of goals. So I think it'll be a brilliant addition.
It gives the fans a boost as well, I think, after the transfer deadline day, slight disappointment, I think. You can't underestimate the impact of getting a named player at the club. It just gives everybody that bit of a lift, isn't it?
That'd be two if they can get
As nice as it is when Reading unearth these gems, the Doyles, the, you know, the Longs, the Carl Shepherds, Brett Williams. As nice as it is when they unearth these rough diamonds, it's nice just getting a player into the club and you go, I know exactly what we're going to get from this guy. I've seen him play, he's going to be great. So,
always remember something Koppel said a long time ago. He said, the more you spend, the less you risk. And I think that's pretty true. And not just on obviously getting people into the club, buying them, but their wages. The more you're going to spend on them, the less risk you're taking, especially in a championship.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great little deal. The only slight question around it, and I suppose it was going to be a longer chat, but given that we've already been talking for the best part of 45 minutes, try and keep it brief. Should this really be allowed, though? Should Reading be allowed to be signing players outside the transfer window on loan? Do you think the loan window should stay open? I know FIFA aren't too happy about the Football League allowing it. Do you think it's a bit of a transfer window by stealth?
Well, technically, it's a loophole at the moment, isn't it? Because it's emergency loans.
Yeah, that's what
it's called. And, you know, loans have been outlawed, and it's emergency loans that these are supposedly all going down as, but they're not emergency loans at all. I think, personally, it should be allowed because in the Premier League, you know, as we saw, we lost two players on the last 2 days of the transfer window. You can't necessarily replace those two in 2 days. And with the way Karajan was playing, you could say that Baird is a bit of an emergency. I think there are situations where you can class something as an emergency loan, and you can, you know, you can feasibly say we need to get someone in.
Thing is, the Premier League won't stop it because it means they can stockpile players and they can ship them out and keep them match fit. So it's not going to stop. So there's no point complaining about it. If we're going to use it, then we're going to use it to our advantage. And I don't see how it affects anything really.
No, well, I said if it helps Reading get players in, all the better. And we've used it to good effect in the past as well. Like when Leisurewood signed and get us to the playoff final, and Kiznashvili, I think Andy Griffin signed in January. But, you know, Reading have used loans well in recent years. So fingers crossed this is another one. Just finally, before we move on then to your comments and questions, Player of the Month. I know it's slightly late for August, considering that we're creeping towards October now. But Johnny, you compiled all the votes,
I did,
and the match ratings, and we can exclusively reveal the winner is.
We got to do a real big pause here, like the X Factor, and give it like 10 minutes, and then go to a break.
Yeah, we'll be back in next month.
We'll put an advert in the middle of this.
Yeah,
no, it was Danny Guffrey, and I did a really, really scientific method of totting up all the man of the matches. And the
this sounds like a man who's got too much time on his hands.
Yeah, I found out it was Danny Guthrie. And then Dan informed me that apparently we ran a poll on it as well.
Yeah, we did.
Where Danny Guthrie was also Player of the Month as well. So, you know, we didn't rig anything or...
No.
But, you know, it was good to see that the science and the people agreed in the end. And Danny Guthrie was our man of the match.
He was Player of the Month. He was. And in the voting and in the points, the Johnny points system. Jem,
as well as Alfie time, I'm trademarking Alfie time.
Yeah, do it. Jem was second as well.
Is this a tally up?
This was based the points based on if you came first, second, or third, I believe.
In the player ratings, we run the polls.
Right.
So the people get their.
So yeah,
voice.
So when we do launch the match rating article, please go down and vote in the polls because they do go towards something.
Before we move on, I'm looking at a list out. The reason I said is this the poll? I'm just looking out on the screen here for those who obviously can't see it. Royston Drenthe, second. Who voted for Royston Drenthe?
To be fair, Royston Drenthe in the first cut. This is August, remember? And in those first couple of games, Bolton, he was great. Against Watford, he looked menacing. And in the first game of the season against Ipswich as well.
I'm still saying he's Massar. I don't rate him.
Oh, no, stop it. We can't mention his name in this podcast.
I just don't see what Royston Drenthe does for anybody.
No. Well, I was going to mention this when we're looking back at the games, but I suppose I'll mention it now as we look ahead to the next couple of games. I think one of the best things you can say, and you sort of alluded to it earlier with Reading getting results when they're playing 6 out of 10 football, is there's got to be more to come from these players.
You hope so, yeah.
Royston Drenthe, even if you think he is more Massar than the Messiah.
Yeah.
He's still going to come off. He did it for Everton last year in a few games. When he came off spectacularly. He's not really done it yet, but there's going to be a game where he's going to score two or three and create like Kebe used to do.
Yeah.
And if we've got that to come, as well as, you know, Robson Kanu slowly rounding into form as well, the defence is looking more settled by the game. This is a team, I think, very much on the up. This isn't a team that's struggling along.
Just on the Drenthe point, I can't wait for him to score his first goal, because at the moment he's taking every shooting opportunity he can. Which is, you know, obviously he wants to impress the fans and he wants to score the goal, but that's fair enough. The other thing is, he still doesn't look fit. I mean, at the end of the Leeds match, he was walking around the pitch absolutely cream-crackered.
Yeah,
we'd already made three of our subs, because obviously we took Karachan off in the ninth minute and in about the 10th minute. And he just had nothing left to offer. So I think he is going to be that sort of impact player. Whether you do it for the first 60 or the last 30 is up to Atkins at the end of the day.
I still think he's looking a bit of a luxury at times. Again, he's another player. Looks like he's got more to give, and hopefully he will. But at the moment, I don't see what everyone's raving about.
And again, so we go now. You know, we mentioned we've got Birmingham on Saturday, and then we go to Barnsley on the Tuesday. Team wise is going to be interesting as well, because how do you change that team that performs so well at Derby? I mean, the likes of Jordan Obita, you know, played well. But if Royston Drenthe is back fit and available, do you drop Obita for Drenthe, or do you just say, look, you lads won us the game, keep going out there? It's a real tough decision for Atkins.
Well, he hasn't done that yet, has he? So I think he probably will change the team. Again, I don't think you can change them front three at the moment. I think they probably are in the driving seat. I think they're probably the biggest threat we've got. Will Drenthe come straight back into the team? He probably will, but should he? I don't know if he should.
I think he will for the home game.
Oh, I think he will come back into the team, but I'm just arguing, should he? Has he done enough to prove that he should start every week? I don't think he has.
He hasn't done enough to prove that he should start every week, but it's sort of a blessing in disguise that we have these two games in 3 days again. We have one on the Saturday, one on the Tuesday, and then one on the Saturday again.
Yeah.
Because Nigel can take a player aside like Jordan Obito and say, look, okay, you played really, really well last time out. I'm not going to give you the start tomorrow. But, you know, we go up to Barnsley on Tuesday and again, you'll be part of the squad there. Other players within the squad like Gunter, Kelly, Bridge, you know, we got those sort of three competing for two positions. Whereas a few months ago when the game that must not be mentioned happened, you looked at the depth and you thought, oh dear, oh dear. Whereas now, you look at the depth and you think, actually, this is okay.
It's a great, to be fair, it's a great squad of players. Mm. No, I think I said it.
Especially if they had Sharp as well.
Yeah, I said it a few weeks ago. It's probably the strongest squad Reading have ever had in their history, I'd argue.
Yeah, no, I think that the game that shall not be mentioned, as I said, muddied the water slightly and caused a few of us to think, oh, is it strong? But no, don't mistake this. This is a very, very strong Championship side. And that's why you're getting opposition managers and fans, every time we speak to them, you know, drooling over it.
Because yeah.
It is a fantastic side and one that should be top six and hopefully will be top two.
I also looked to point out Alex Pearce. I thought he was excellent against Leeds. He was proper solid performance from him.
He's rounded back into form again now that he's got the contract stuff behind him and he's playing every week.
He was very good.
So, Birmingham game, Saturday. Gents, predictions? Johnny, start with you.
Well, with
notoriously on the fence.
You
could be a 2-1, or it could go 2-1 the other way. Or
there'll be a result in this game.
Well, it might get called off. You never know. I'll nail the score down first. 3-1 Reading.
Nice.
I'll say why. I think Birmingham are going to score, and it is probably just because of that name Lingard. Because I've seen the highlights of his four goals. He just looks absolutely awesome. So, you know, I think we will let one in. And in the last few games, we have been quite lucky that we've kept clean sheets. But you look at the team and you think we've got some good strikers there. And, you know, they're 18th in the table. We should be beating this team.
Yeah.
Westy?
Four. We're going to hit four.
Four?
4-0?
4-1. 4-1. Okay.
Who's going to get them? Morrison, all four.
Let's hope so. Let's hope he gets a first one.
I'm still not convinced that we're fully fluent and informed, so I'm going to go for a bit more of a conservative 1-0. Birmingham games never seem to be that exciting at home, so I don't see us bursting out the blocks, but I do see us getting 3 points.
I said one of us are right, that'd do.
No, yeah, as long as we get the win, I don't care if it comes off Pierce's backside in the 95th minute, as long as we get the win. And then up to Barnsley, a place where we've had a bit more success in recent years. I think we thumped them, was it 4-0?
Yeah,
4-1.
We should be hammering Barnsley. Everyone else seems to be hammering. We should win that one easily, I'd have thought.
Yeah. Prediction then?
4-0.
4-0 again. Wow, okay. Eight goals this week.
This is a new Westie, I tell you. It's changed.
Wow. Just wait for next week when we lose them both. I'm going to go 2-0. I think we'll get the clean sheet. But, yeah. No, as long as we get two wins, I'm perfectly happy. And as we said earlier, we've got six games coming up. Five of them we should win on paper.
And I'm going to go for a 2-1. I think Reading will take a 2-0 lead and then let one slip late on. And we'll have a few nervy minutes. But I think 2-1 win at Barnsley. Right, so now let's move on to some of your tweets and emails and other feedback.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/TheTarlhurstEnd.
Right, thanks to everyone who's been tweeting, emailing and Facebooking us over the past few weeks. Apologies for the lack of show last week. I said I was in Spain and we did have a midweek home game, so that was the excuse you two gave.
Oh, yeah, that's fine, don't worry, yeah. Show stops for you. Yeah. Just like Johnny Corden.
Was going to...
Never happened on my watch, Johnny.
I was going to take a mobile studio with me over to Spain, but unfortunately not. But we are back and hopefully should be weekly again. We'll probably be back after the Barnsley game, but we'll come on to that later. Anyway, as I said, thanks for getting in touch. You can do so via Facebook at facebook.com/TheTarlhurstEnd. Twitter at the Tarlhurst End, and our email address is thetarlhurstend@gmail.com. So any of those ways, feel free to send in your feedback and questions. As Jason Arndt has done, I hope I've pronounced your name correctly, apologies if I haven't. He says, I live in the US, so I only saw the Brighton and Derby games, but even though we scored 3 against Derby, our goal scoring doesn't exactly instil confidence. The first goal was just cleaning up a mess in the box, the second was a defensive error that left the ball to Pog, and the third was in garbage time. I'd like to see more consistent goal scoring in the run of play. Looking forward to the next 6 games. There are some very winnable games to put us in a good position going into the QPR match. I'd love to get 14 to 16 points at the next 18. The only questionable game is at Burnley, and then they are playing better than expected. You expect to be in the top two at the end of the year, then you need to win the games you're supposed to win. Home against Birmingham, Doncaster and Millwall, and away to Barnes and Sheffield Wednesday. They should all be wins if we want to be in the top two. I think pretty much in agreement with that. I think you've got to win those games.
You should be winning them games, but again, I've been a Reading fan for a long, long time now, and I know Reading tend to slip up against them sort of sides and then beat teams at the top. So I shouldn't worry about too much. We should pick up a decent amount of points there, but if we don't push
any it. Any worries about the type of goals that we're scoring?
It was interesting that one was brought up about Pogs first, because I thought that was a well-worked set piece. It looked as though...
There's a brilliant pitch on Reading FC's Instagram of how Pog gets... And he's literally going through Buxton's legs. It's very painful for Buxton, put it that way. Check it out.
But, you know, it was Alex Pearce, back post, not it in. Pog's clearly in the box and just, you know, I mean, perhaps there was a slice of luck to it. But, you know, it was clearly something that was thought out.
If you're Nigel Clough, you've got to be fuming, because... Just take any look at any Reading game and just mark Alex Pearce or Sean Morrison.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Again, so you say that, but McDermott didn't seem to be able to do it, and he was players that he brought in. So I just think they're good and big and strong in the air, and sometimes you can't defend against them. But again, we're scoring goals. If we're scoring scrappy goals, we're scoring goals. You can look at any goal and say it's somebody's mistake or it's scrappy here and there. Mm. There's not many goals that are just clear-cut brilliant, and we're scoring, so why worry about it?
Goals are goals. We've got one more email from a guy called Ian Wilson, but I'll leave that right to the end of the emails. Move on to the tweets we've had. Joe Davey says, after Pog's performance at Derby, do you think he's going to kickstart his season, go on to help us get promoted? Pat Banks wants to know, do you think Carachan's injury is a blessing in disguise? I do, says Pat. And
why? Did he actually put why he thought it was a blessing in disguise?
No, I just don't know whether he... I can only presume it's on the basis that... obviously, it's allowing maybe different players to have their chance, like Sir Williams and Obita and stuff.
He's not Bird's agent, is he, by chance?
I don't think so. Any hint of, do you think it's blessing in disguise?
No, I think it's just on that point I said earlier, that before the season, you wouldn't have minded,
No, you don't want to say they're injured.
But it wouldn't have been...
Johnny, how could you?
That's harsh.
It wouldn't have been so much of a concern.
No.
Whereas the way Carajan has started in the first 6, 7, 8 games, he's been absolutely electric, best form of his life. And I think it says as much that Nigel Atkins has gone into the loan market and Anton has finally found some money down the back of the sofa to actually go out and get someone. That is how important Carajan or the central midfield area was to us.
The thing is, you can say what you like about the players that have brought in, but the one thing you can say about things under Anton is that he brings in quality players. He doesn't take risks on your Akpans and players that, you know, that are a risk, gamble. He brings in players that are ready for that team straight away. And I think that can only be a good thing, and it is a good thing.
Sounds like Baird, and I know it was last January, but Kelly as well. That's the signs that Reading's do need to be making.
I mean, people criticise Anton Zagarevich, but what did he say not so long ago? He was going to bring players that are international class footballers, England, and everyone laughed at him. But he's brought in the left back that played, a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
He's brought in American international. He's brought in Drinta. He's brought in Baird now. He's a full international. He's bringing quality players into that side. So if you're going to criticise him, then just look at the players they've brought in compared to what they did before.
Very much agree. And as for Joe Davies' tweet about Pog, I think we've sort of gone on to that. We're hoping that it will kickstart the season and go on. Just obviously it'll be interesting to see if Sharp does sign, how he fits into that mix. And Fresh Reading, he tweets, glad to see Baird come in and Billy Sharp be decent. How many internet hits is Liam Kelly getting at the moment? Is he a future star? For those of you who don't know, Liam Kelly is in our academy at the moment. He's scored an absolute worldie, as you would say, of a free kick. Check it out on YouTube. I think last count had about over 300,000 hits. Really, it's got national attention. It's hard for us to sit here and say, are these players going to be a future star? Because we get so little opportunity to see the academy play.
Yeah.
We only get the reports from the official website. And with all due respect to the website, they're not, how can I put this politically?
A little bit one-sided.
Yeah. Mm. So, is he going to be a future star? I mean, on the basis of that free kick, if he's got that in his locker and things like that, and he has been getting good reports, and you can't disguise the fact he's been scoring goals and getting assists. Yeah. So, fingers crossed, he's the next Sigurdsson. Or
you have to do it consistently, and then when you get a loan move, you have to do it there, and then you come into the first side. That's how it works. Hector, again, he got some great reviews this week, and they're saying what a star player he's been up in Scotland. He's at 21 now. If he has a season there, you'd expect to see him next year if he's good enough.
It will be interesting to see what we do with the squad this year, because obviously we're bringing in these players, but then you look at the Jordan Obita, Dominic Samuel, Lawson Death. I mean, these were three players that we thought these are going to be future superstars as well. So, you know, some players, they do kick on, some players they don't. Yeah. For every Sigurdsson, you've got, for one, it's the only one I can think of, Simon Church, who is not exactly knocking them in the championship.
Well, it all depends on this season what happens to Reading. If Reading goes straight back up again, you won't see these young players. If they don't go straight back up, I think the players like Bridge and maybe Baird will be moved to one side just because of their wages, and you may see these younger players step in for
you
them.
You do have to say that Zingarevich and Adkins as well have been banging on about the youth being very important coming through, and yeah. Adkins did bring through a lot of young players at Southampton, so you know, fingers crossed we can see a few homegrown, because it is nice seeing the likes of Pierce, Robson, Kanu, McCarthy.
Well, a bit well. Around the side, yeah. Now, and I said before, he's got an unbelievably good left foot. I've seen him play for youth team a couple of times. He looks like he's at that mark now that he could play in a championship. Not probably not every week, but at least step in now and again.
Well, it's like Carney did when Carney first came into the
side. They all do, to be fair. And I think, again, if we don't go up, you'll see a bit more of them. If we do, it'd be hard for them to get in the side.
I think you hit the nail on the head, though. It's very important these guys go out and get good loan spells under their belt. You know, Gilfie had a good spell at Crewe, at Pearce, Carachan, I think they went to Bournemouth.
McCarthy was out quite a bit at Leeds.
Exactly. Yeovil McCarthy as well. So don't expect these players to come straight from the academy and just make an impact at first team level. I mean, Jordan Abitas had been out on loan to Gillingham.
It's too much of a step up for them. No. To come out of youth football and go and play in the championship is too big a step. And to go
very,
to the Premier,
very rare.
You'd have to be a brilliant player to go to
only the like, yes, obviously the likes of Wayne Rooney, Michael Owens.
Yeah.
And
I mean, top players.
Yeah. Even David Beckham had a loan spell.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, they need those. And finally, on the tweet front, Chris Hartley says, do you think we need another striker considering how well Harrells and Carney played through the middle against Leeds?
He played well through the middle, but he can't finish at all. I mean, maybe that's a little bit harsh because he scored two good goals against Fulham at the end of last season. But as good as he was at holding up the ball, he wasn't finding himself. He doesn't have that striker's instinct.
No, I think that position he played in against Derby, where he's sort of wide, but he's not. He's more of a sort of third striker. I think that is perfect for him because he can run at players. We've seen him do it. He can cross the ball and he can get the odd goal here and there. Mm. So I think just playing off the striker will give him more freedom than if he has to stand and be the target man, which I think he can do.
But it's like the likes of Scott Sinclair and Nathan Dyer did for Swansea very well. Yep. They played. They were kind of strikers, but they weren't actually, you know, number nine. Yeah, up top. So,
and the great thing about Robson Kanu is what they've done against Leeds. What they can do, even when he's playing at sort of a more wider role, is you can hit him. If you have to go route one, you can hit Robson Kanu. So there's someone to aim for. Whereas if you're playing towards Lafondre, you know you're going to lose the ball.
Yeah, as we said though, I think we're all, you know, quite happy to see Billy Sharp come in, and another striker is always welcome. You can't have enough strikers. I think Mick Goodin says it constantly. You can't have enough strikers, and you can't have enough centre backs. So, you know, all good. Sorry, there was one last tweet, and that's from Joey Stevenson, who asked, was there any news on the Sharp deal? I think Charles has covered that. He's also nervous about Birmingham. Now they have Lingard as a serious player. And again, I think Johnny's tipped him to score, so don't put any money on
one
it.
One player does not make a team.
No, and there wasn't up against much, to be fair.
Mm. No, they're certainly a team that's struggling, and you'd like to think, especially at home, that Reading can get past them.
We've got the tape now. Pearce will mark him out of the game. He won't do anything.
Fingers crossed. Right, the lovely Bobby Hall has also got in touch with us via Facebook, and he says, well, performance has been far from great recently, but 7 points in three games is never to be sniffed at. The table is suddenly making for much nicer reading too. Good to see the Pole get a brace, as he was all smiles and embracing the crowd, despite the criticism, which is great to see. Blackman, though, did the complete opposite and put a slight downer on the Derby game, in my opinion, with his smug non-celebration. He's had more time on the pitch than any striker and looked terrible most of the time. He has only scored a penalty and then just about managed a scuff effort on a breakaway after a shocking first touch. Yes, he's been given a lot of stick, but that's football and he's far from proving himself. I think he needs a bit of a reality check, in all honesty, and that attitude is not going to endear him to the fans.
Oh, that's a slate and he's given there. Yeah, lovely. Yeah. What's he playing at?
I can see where he's coming from, and I can't say I'm particularly happy whenever a player gives it the old, or you've been slagging off. I think Kerry did it once, didn't he? Ran across the East End with his finger.
I think it's the best way to reply to the fans. Yeah. As long as you can do it every week and keep it up, and if you're going to stand there in front of everyone and say, look, I'm better than you think I am, then prove it. And if you do it every week, nobody cares.
Again, if he goes on and scores five more goals, anybody that slagged him off is going to at least be quiet, if not praise him. Some people have, though, just got a half of players.
I'll be honest, if I was him, I'd have done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's good to see someone actually standing up, because fans can very easily stand and criticise many players, but, you know, players have feelings too. And, you know, it's not like they're just going to go home and count their money. They're going to think, actually, why do these people hate me? I put my body on the line for 90 minutes every game. And see him do that. Hopefully we can draw a line under it now.
Yeah.
The fans will respect him. He'll respect the fans. The next time he scores, he's going to go mental.
I say, he's 23, 24. Give them both a break.
Yeah, very much agreed. Right, and I mentioned earlier, we had an email from Ian Wilson, who is, I know for a fact, is a Leicester fan. So This is why he says, long-time listener, first-time feedbacker, partially because I don't follow Reading. After watching my team Leicester lose at Charlton the other week with their second goal scored by a former Fox, Jan Kermagant, it inspired me to put this question to you. Who is Reading FC's Jan Kermagant in terms of who always comes back to haunt us? They don't have to be a former player, but is there a player out there who always seems to perform at their best when taking on the Royals? My first reaction to this question, Rob Hulse always seems to score against Reading.
Rob Hulse?
Yeah, although he's sort of drifted away in recent years.
But and Cameron Jerome, he seems to get a lot of goals, yeah. Never score all season.
Andy Johnson was mine.
Yeah?
Yeah. To be fair, he's a good goal scorer, but he always seemed to.
I will say one player who Reading signed, who always used to do well for him before he signed for Reading, and then he was awful for Reading and disappeared. Probably, I don't know if it was before your time, there's a player called Jason Bowen.
I remember him.
They bought him from Swansea, I'm sure they bought him from Swansea, or Cardiff, somewhere like that. But he scored some fantastic goals against Reading. I thought, this is the best player Reading have ever signed.
He was terrible, wasn't he?
Wrong. Yeah.
I remember Bullivant bought him, and I think he scored a cracking goal at Sunderland, and yeah, we got absolutely smashed, but... Yeah. Other than Andy Legg. Good
yeah,
duo.
That's it. Other than that, I can't really think of anyone who comes back and haunts us.
Graham Kavanagh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stoke player, yeah.
That who was the Wolves guy that's got against in the playoffs? Cameron? Colin Cameron? I might be.
Oh yeah, I do. I was talking about, yeah.
He seems to have good games against Reading.
Yeah, other than that, Cameron Jerome all seems to stick in my mind.
Reading have generally done a pretty good job, we can say, of letting players go at the right time.
They've certainly got good money for them in recent years.
Yeah, anyway. I can't remember a player. I mean, I think Kitson scored a winner for us for Portsmouth once, but I can't remember players that Reading have let go recently making a start. I mean, Kieran's first return to Menessie Stadium saw him get sent off, didn't he?
That's right, yeah.
He got done by Sidwell.
I don't think there is anyone that stands out to haunt us.
No, not particularly.
Nah, we tend to get rid of him at the right time. Good business.
Yeah, so...
That Nicky Hammond, though.
Cut of the cloth, eh? Nicky Hammond, what a legend.
Yeah, so no, we can't really answer your question. As I said, for me, it's Rob Hulse, but that's about it. But thanks for the question, Ian. Hope you can still stick with us listening, even though... Leicester fan, maybe we'll try and get him on before the Leicester game.
Try and convert him.
To be fair, that's worth sending out to the listeners if they can think
of
anyone.
Yeah, no, very much so. Yeah, tweet us. If you can think of a player that always seems to haunt Reading, either a former Reading player or just somebody yours knows has a great game against us, then yeah, get in touch and we'll put them out next week. And I'll have a think as well.
Yeah.
On the way to work tomorrow. Right, so that just about rounds up all of the feedback. Thanks again to everyone who's got in touch, and again, you'll know the methods by now. Facebook.com/TarlestEnd, Twitter @TarlestEnd, and for emails, it's thetarlestend@gmail.com.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast,
by Reading fans, for Reading fans.
So, guys, that just about wraps it up for this week. If you want to read more analysis and opinions on any of the games that we've been discussing, please go over to thetarlestend.com. You can read all the Johnny's match reports from Brighton and Leeds games. We've got John Hyde's account from Derby. We've got all the player ratings. You can see the article for the Johnny system of our player of the month.
The JPS.
Yeah, I like it.
Index.
Here we go. For the player of the month. We've also got Jenna's done some news bites, just linked some good little articles that have been written about Reading this week outside of the website, and lots of other bits and pieces as well. We'll have all the build-up to the Birmingham and Barnsley games. So, yeah, just keep checking the website, keep it in your favourites, and stay tuned to the Twitter feed, so we'll have lots of updates there. And again, I say it every week, if you want to get involved, either leaving just feedback for this show, and if you want to start writing for the Tarlhurst End, just drop us an email. You don't have to be like a well-established writer or a journalism student or whatnot. You can just be a fan who's got an opinion on a player or a past event for Reading. Just get in touch. You know, we say at the top of the show, we're by fans for fans. It was the whole point of the website. We're really keen to get as many people involved as possible. So, drop us an email, tweet, Facebook, whatever. Just get in touch. Right, so we're off. As I said, we've got Barnsley next midweek. So we'll probably be recording Wednesday or Thursday night, I'd imagine. Again, we'll keep you updated via Twitter. But guys, thanks very much for joining us as always.
It's been a pleasure.
As always.
And so we're all off. And here's to... us seeing those 8 goals Westie's predicted over the next 2 games.
At least 8.
At least 8.
To Sean Morrison. Just
exactly. Right, thanks guys. See you next time.
Bye.
You smile. you're listening to Tarlhurst End Podcast, the only podcast made by Reading fans for Reading fans.